Expected new U.S. sanctions on Russia, royal markets in Russia. I'm David Brancaccio. Russia's currency, the ruble, dropped hard in value today. It's down 1.4% now. This on news, the Biden administration is expected to announce new sanctions on Russia to respond to the massive hacking campaign attributed to Moscow with digital intrusions into U.S. federal agencies. Also, U.S. officials allege Russian President Putin authorized operations to help Donald Trump try to win the last campaign. Among sanctions that could come today, further restricting the ability of Wall Street to buy Russian government debt, a suggestion that is already driving up Russian interest rates this morning. Top officials from Britain and the European Union will sit down today to discuss the effect that Brexit is having on Northern Ireland as more bottlenecks developed in trade between the Republic, which is EU, and Northern Ireland, which is no longer. There's been more social unrest in a place with such a fraught history. The BBC's John Campbell has more from Belfast.
Back in March, there was this huge bust-up between the UK and the EU over the new Irish Sea trade border, which exists between the United Kingdom, the Great Britain part of it, England, Scotland and Wales, and then the Northern Ireland part of it. And I think things have cooled down a little bit in the intervening weeks. The UK has sent a document to the EU laying out what it thinks should be the timetable for fully implementing all these new border processes. What the meeting is about tonight is trying to take a stock of where we are with that. But really, there is a mountain to climb here, and we are only in the foothills.
The BBC's John Campbell in Northern Ireland. Stocks in Europe, the AEX index in Amsterdam is up 0.2%. With possible new U.S. sanctions, the RTS stock index in Russia is down 2.4%. Here, Dow and S&P futures are up 0.5% each. The NASDAQ future is up 0.6%. Retail sales figures for the U.S. are on the way this morning. Forecasters are expecting a robust jump of about maybe 6%, given vaccinations and stimulus checks.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
We are watching a documentary film once a month on Marketplace themes, part of our Econ Extra Credit project. Here in April, it's the movie Helvetica, the ubiquitous font, the typeface that some experts say is perfect because it's neutral. Others regard Helvetica as evil because it's like lipstick on a pig when used to dress up the image of companies that do harm. Today here, not a font, but a design look that gives a company that benign-seeming startup-style vibe. These are company graphics using a flat cartoon look with bright, unblended colors. You've seen it everywhere. Some call this look corporate Memphis, and this guy thinks enough is enough. Mike Merrill works as a creative producer in advertising and is credited with coining the corporate Memphis term. Welcome.
Thanks a lot. Happy to be here.
Tell me about this look, which you see everywhere. It's cartoony, it's bright blocks of color.
Yeah, it feels almost nostalgic, like it's sort of this flat pastel, very simplified colors and shapes, yet it's very modern and crisp at the same time. I think a lot of people won't even notice it. It just blends into the background in a really safe, mildly pleasant Prozac design kind of sense.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't see the U.S. Supreme Court or a private prisons company adopt this look, right? It's for tech world or other types of businesses?
Yeah, I think it's a very tech-focused trend is where you see it the most. I heard it described once as it sort of represents solved problems, like everything's okay when you see this design.
All right, so your beef isn't just that it's cliche, and no one likes a cliche, but yes, you worry that maybe this approach to design makes things look benign when maybe the company underneath could be doing things that are not so warm and fuzzy.
Well, and I think Facebook's probably the biggest example of it. They went through a phase where they were using this style, you know, universally. And, you know, they are one of the darkest companies as far as how they're using that customer data. And it is all about this idea of like, trust me, I'm a trustworthy company. And let's not look behind the curtain and see what's actually going on. So I think it's a really nefarious way to sort of hide behind visual language.
Now, I don't want to be an overbearing cynic here, but, you know, branding and logos, do we really expect this stuff to convey truth? I mean, branding is spin on a stick, so we shouldn't kid ourselves, I guess.
I absolutely agree. And I think there's two uses of this style that you see most often. And the first is those big companies. And that to me feels a little deceptive, like they're trying to hide something. On the other hand, I think it's a valuable tool for that really young company that doesn't have a designer on staff yet, that's just starting out and just kind of needs something to get up and running. And it kind of puts them on equal footing from a design perspective.
All right. Mike, the term corporate Memphis doesn't have anything to do with Memphis and Tennessee.
Yeah, there was an arts movement that had sort of similar bright color style, and that movement was called Memphis. So it's sort of acknowledging this bright, happy visual language kind of combined with the darker side of let's co-opt it and use it to sell personal information.
Mike Merrill is a creative producer in advertising. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Happy to talk to you.
Facebook, it should be said, sees itself as a force for good. Now, the design element discussed in the documentary film we're watching this month is the font Helvetica. That typeface is everywhere. Sign up for our discussion of the monthly Econ Extra Credit movies at marketplace.org/newsletters. And that guy, Mike Merrill, we were just talking to, he's noted for something else. Some years ago, he sold shares of himself. He himself is a kind of stock that goes up or down, not available on the stock market, but to family and friends. His issue price was $1, and he says he's trading at around $5 a share now. Performance art, a commentary on capitalism, a way for him to buy a new washing machine. I ask Mike about this. That conversation is streamable at our website, marketplace.org. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.